This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In the previous few ahadith, we've been looking at the preservation or the protection of people, of defending people. Today's theme continues with a slight addition of protecting people's honour and dignity. Because we find that unfortunately, in the world that we live in at the moment, it is common practice for a person to malign another individual, to speak about another individual, to gossip about another individual. When the world is full of gossip, as they say, and full of false news. And as a Muslim should be very wary about authenticating the information, the akhbar, the news that comes to them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Oh, you believe, be wary, be vigilant, that maybe a rebellious, a wicked individual comes to you with some news, some information. فَتَبَيَّنُوا مِن بَعْدِ اِقْتِرَاعَةٍ فَتَثَبَّتُوا. Establish, clarify, seek to find out the authenticity of that information, lest you begin to become a people in a state of loss, regret, because spreading information which is false. And this is a verse inside Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter of Quran, a Medinan Surah of 18 verses. As many times we mentioned, this Surah is enough for us to establish an Islamic society. And we're going to remain with the theme of the ayat inside this surah, because they are relevant to this theme of spreading rumors and tales and gossiping and suspicion. And thus we find that the Muslim, the individual, is not one that this world is full of maligning other people's honor and integrity and attacking their character and reputations, particularly by saying bad things about fellow human beings and looking for their faults. This unfortunately, sadly, is something which is even amongst our own Muslims. It's common practice for the media and the world around us to seek some information, to tarnish an individual, to exploit information about an individual for whatever purpose it may be. But sadly it is that amongst some of us Muslims, it's common practice that Muslims like to exploit another Muslim's sins or a sin or a mistake or discrepancy, or misunderstanding, or just general gossip that we find, qila wa qal, this and that was said about the individual, has unfortunately become a common practice among some of us individuals. And thus we need to remind ourselves the severe danger and punishment of just gossiping, of slandering, of maligning, of spreading rumours, of just spreading whatever a person hears, whatever is brought to them. إِنَّا مِنْ أَرْبَى الْرِبَاثِ الْإِسْتِطَالَةُ فِي عِرْضِ الْمُسْلِمِ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. The most worst form of riba, of usury interest, is to attack another Muslim's honour, integrity, without any justification. Hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood. And I'm sure that most of us are familiar how repulsive usury is, how interest. If you study the ayat inside the Quran, a hadith, how they display the repulsive nature of staying away from riba, of interest, to such a degree that you find inside the Quran, there's only one explicit verse speaking about a sin, min al-kabair, from the major sins, which speaks about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then His Messenger have declared war upon that individual. Many sins, kabair, are mentioned inside the Quran. But never does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention that this is what's going to happen to that individual, what I'm going to declare upon that individual. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Oh, you who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى. Stay away from whatever remains from riba. Previously you may have not known about the ruling and the injunctions. Leave it. Walk away from interest transactions. Because if you don't do so, you're not really true believers. And straight after that, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, you don't carry out of avoiding riba and interest, فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. They know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared war. Harb. But have you stopped and pondered and reflected that could there be a war that we're facing? كَلَّا وَحَاشَا مَعَ اللَّهِ. We're facing a war with Allah. Some of us, we don't think like this. The Muslim Ummah sadly doesn't think like that. That's what you find. Al-Banuka Ribawiya Muntashira fil Alam Islami. You find that Islamic interest-based banking is widespread in the Muslim globe, in the world. Wahallallahu al-bay wa harrama riba. Allah has made business halal and made usury haram. La niqash. There's no discussion. People say it's a 21st century, it's a modern world. How are we going to live? What are we going to do? What were we doing 150 years ago in our lives? How were we living previously inside our lives? Now all of a sudden it's become a dire need. That I need to have this to survive, to live. Or as many people, they debate, I need a roof over my head. Even those ulama, wahum aqillah, they are a minute amount. From maybe 100 ulama, maybe one. Or maybe from 1,000, maybe one. Has said that taking a loan for your own home may be allowed. That is a minute view, which is not the majority view. People try to argue and say, لِلْدُرُورَ, for necessity. What is necessity according to Sharia for Islam? What does durura mean? Durura means that you're about to starve. You're about to die. You're going to go hungry. You're going to be ridden without any shelter. That's what durura means. And even if al-fuqa mentioned that durura, necessity, means that you take that which will suffice you. So if you're starving, you're about to die of hunger, you eat enough flesh of haram or the swine, may Allah forbid, that will sustain you to continue your journey to give you life. It doesn't mean that you eat as much as you please. So if you play with your own semantics of linguistics and words, you say it's durura, necessity. Necessity according to Islam is a dire need. And I wouldn't be wrong to say that there is no Muslim in this country who's in a dire need to take an interest-based loan and say it's a dire need. I need to live. I need to survive. There are many other ways of survival that we find. And just to refresh our memory, if we study the hadith that speak about the evil nature or the punishment or the repulsive theme of riba, we find there are 70 degrees of usury, the least of which is equivalent to a man having relationship with his own mother. Hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah. Some ulama hadith make a critique, but in general, ulama have accepted the least amount of riba is for a person to have relationship with their own mother. Naturally, it sounds repulsive. But we know this. But why are so many Muslims engaged in it? Something which is repulsive makes a person to stay away from it. Likewise, you find that equally, this hadith that we're discussing today, it is something repulsive. That it is to speak about another person, speak about their honor and dignity, that it is a great sin, it's worse than riba. Worse than taking usury, that you're maligning another person's character and behavior. So just like you find riba to be repulsive, person should find that when I speak about another person without any justification, it's repulsive as well. Some of the ulama hadith have gone to an even deeper view and said the highest degree of usury is not the actually money exchange. According to this hadith, the highest degree of usury is reviling and attacking somebody else's honor without any justification, without any reason. Some of us average Muslims, we're not vigilant about this. We may see a person committing haram, a major haram, drinking, alcohol, drugs, zina, usury, interest, say, akhi, this is haram. But then I may backbite. I might speak about another individual and I think nothing of it. Limadha? Why should I think nothing of it? When it's also from the major sins. Amongst the major sins, to insult, to speak about another individual without any justification. Just like I get upset about this person, I should get upset about my own self. That why am I doing this? And as a person should see that the punishment which awaits such individuals, or what will happen to these individuals, لَمَّا عُرِجَ بِمَرَدُ بِقَوْمٍ لَهُمْ أَذْفَارٍ مِنْ نُحَاسٍ يَخْمُشُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَصُدُورَهُمْ. When the Prophet ﷺ, he made the night during ascension, he shown certain individuals what they were doing. He saw people with nails of copper. They were scratching their cheeks, their faces, and they're scratching their bodily parts, scratching their chests. فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ يَا جِبْرَيْلِ. I said to Jibreel عليه السلام, who are these individuals? قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ لُحُومَ النَّاسِ وَيَقَعُونَ فِي أَعْرَاضِهِمْ. These are the people who eat the flesh of other human beings, and they tarnish their honor, speak about their integrity, their dignity. You know, the disciple studied this hadith about لَمَّا عُرِجَ بِي. When the Prophet was taken on the night journey, and you shown the people hellfire, shown the people paradise. Study the depiction. Visualize the depiction of the type of people, what will happen to them. Minhum, you find individuals who are going to be crushed with a rock. When asked the ta'wil, what is the meaning of this individual whose head is crushed? Alladhi nama 'an al-Qur'an aw nama 'an as-salah. The person who learned the Quran and slept, never implemented the Quran, or person who slept through their prayers, wasn't vigilant about their prayers. Head would be crushed with a rock. You find another group of individuals coming from a river full of blood. They'll come to the shore. A person will throw stones into their mouths. Literally, blood suckers. These were the people who used to devour usurers, usually take interest. And they'll go back into the red ocean and come back once again. You find people be in a tanur, in a furnace of fire, in a state of nudity. And the fire will burn them and make them come towards the tip to the front. And we ask, man ha'ula'i? Who are those individuals? They are the men and the women who committed zina on this earth. Hadha al-adhab li ha'ula'i. And some ulama said, hadha al-hadith dalil li adhab al-qabr. Ulama said, this hadith, don't worry about the hereafter. Don't visualize this is going to happen inside hereafter. This is an evidence for adhab for people inside the grave as soon as they die. That if you're involved in these major sins, this will be the punishment they begin to face. And in a greater torment inside the akhirah for those individuals. Hadith in the Sunan Abu Dawood in the Muslim Imam Ahmad. And many of us, rightfully, we may shed tears about remembering about Allah, remembering about the depiction of punishment and good things. It's not about, as Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, rahmatullah alayhi, ma wa khawfullah. What is the fear of Allah? And tabki? Is fear of Allah that you just weep, you shed a few tears, you emotionally get upset inside your heart? La. خَشَّتُ اللَّهُ خَوْفُ اللَّهُ أَن تَتَغَيِّرْ نَفْسَكَ. Fear of Allah is you change yourself. تَتَجَنَّبْ مِنَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ مِنَ الْفَوَاحِشِ مِنَ النَّوَاهِي. Fear of Allah is that you change yourself to stay away from haram. Stay away from that which is forbidden. Stay away from evil. That's what it means. That's the impact of Iman. Iman isn't, as some people just say, it's just a melodious feeling inside the heart, in the mind. No. It's a feeling inside your heart that makes you change. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Inside Surah Al-Furqan that we find, the message say, oh, Ya Allah, Ya Rabb, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. My people have abandoned this Qur'an. وإمام نووي رحمة الله يقول هجر القرآن هو المعنى ترك القرآن تطبيق القرآن ليس فقط قراءة القرآن. Leaving the Quran, for many of us it may be just leaving, reciting the Quran. Some of us, may Allah forbid, don't read the Quran until the following Ramadan. Some of us only pick up the Quran when someone's dying or some reflection or feeling upset. القرآن لحياتك. Just like you eat and you drink every single day, you enjoy the nourishment of food and drink, you need to enjoy halawatul Qur'an. You need to enjoy the sweetness of the Qur'an. Food of the soul. awakens the individual. That's when a person just doesn't seem to understand the verses of the Quran, just goes beyond their throat. That's it. Doesn't go penetrate beyond their throat into them, within the soul of the individual. That's what the Quran wants to do. That's what Islam wants to do. You know, today's world that we find among some of us Muslims is just a tacit approval. Many of us, we know things are haram. We make a joke about it. I know smoking is haram, I know free mix is haram, I know relationships is haram, I know shisha is haram, I know drugs are haram. I met people who know everything is haram. And they give us adilla, they give us evidences. They justify their life. في قلوب مرض فزادهم الله مرضا. In their hearts is a sickness. Allah increases the sickness. A simple Muslim, simple belief. When you told something is haram, how will fi hayat? وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and obey. Try your best. وَخُلِكَ الْإِنسَانُ دَعِيفَ. Man is going to be weak. Man will commit errors, mistakes. لَا حَرَجْ. No harm. But when you know something is wrong, then a person makes amends to come away from it. And this is what we as a Muslim nation, Muslim ummah, may possibly be suffering from. We don't want to amend. We know what is halal, we know what is haram. We don't want to amend. We don't want to physically make that change of giving up these haram things that we're surrounded by. And likewise, if we stick to the depiction of maligning other individuals, the Quran is very accurate in the way it depicts certain things. Once again, the only depiction inside the Quran about maligning another individual, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْدَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. Continuing the ayah inside Surah Al-Hujurat. As I mentioned, study this surah, 18 verses. Study this surah, what it speaks about. All you believe, stay away from suspicion. Indeed, much of suspicion is a sin. To be suspicious about people, to be worried about other people unnecessarily. And then Allah describes that those individuals, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, don't spy. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Don't let one of you eat the flesh of his own brother. There's no depiction, once again, inside the Quran that describes a sin in such a nature. Quran is describing backbiting as eating the dead flesh of an individual. If we study the tafsir of these ayat, if we look at tafsir Fathul Qadir of Imam Shawkani rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shawkani speaking about the tafsir of these ayat inside Surah Al-Hujurat, about al-ghiba that we find. أولا about dhan. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. What is conjecture, speculation? You know, some people try to say, you know, somebody's doing a bad, evil action, give them the benefit of the doubt. إذا كان فسق ظاهرا فلا عذر له. If a person commits sins openly, you don't need to make a justification. This is where many people, they've warped up their principles. If a normal person does something wrong, then all hell will break out loose. Somebody else does something wrong, give him an excuse. يَشْرَبْ أَمَامَ النَّاسِ. Person drinks alcohol in front of people, give him the benefit of the doubt. That's not what the Sharia says. Imam وَيَنْقُلْ عَنِ الْإِمَامِ الْقُرْطُبِ الْمُفَسِّرِ الْمَشْهُورِ. Imam Shawkani mentioned from Imam Qurtubi, who's a famous Andalusian scholar of tafsir. He mentioned that أَنَّ لَا حَرَجْ فِي ظَنَّ الْقَبِيحِ بِمَنْ ظَاهِرُهُ الْقَبِيحِ. There's nothing wrong with thinking bad of a person whose appearance is bad. قَبِيح. They're doing wickedness in front of you. You don't need to think good of that person. You don't have to think good of that person. You don't have to make excuses for that person. A person does something openly, which is haram, out in public, you don't need to justify and give the person the benefit of the doubt. Person, they're not fiscal, ظاهر. Their fisk is apparent. And I don't want to delve on this too much, but just to give you an understanding of how deep it can be. fuqaha mention about the imam who leads the salah. We may take this personally or reject it, but just to help us to understand is my main thrust, my main aim. الذي يحلق لحيته ففسقه ظاهر. For God mentioned, a person who shaves their beard cannot be the imam. لماذا? In today's modern 21st world, we may justify it's a modern world, whatever it may be. Read works of fuqaha. Fuqaha rejected a person who opened, because he had a fiscal ظاهر. His disobedience is open. We're not judging anybody here. But according to fuqaha, he cannot be the imam. He can't lead the people in prayer, because his disobedience is open in the public domain. Because a hadith which speak about the person to attire themselves in a certain manner are all compulsory in general, and become even more compulsory the person who's supposed to be the imam of the people. فَإِذَا كَانَ فَاسِقًا ظَاهِرًا, if he's openly disobeying Allah, he's not befitting to lead the people in prayer. وَالسِّرُّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, whatever his reason may be, lies with Allah. Allah will overlook and pardon and forgive. That's not for us to judge. But this is to help us to understand the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we live in a very so-called, what they claim to be a modern 21st world. That everything can be tolerated, everything can be taken. We need to follow classical understanding of Islam to develop that inside our life. Tafsir continues, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not spy. Al-Bahth and Ma'ayib al-Nas. Don't search to find the faults of people. وَلَا قِرَاءَ وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا بِالْحَامِ. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا. Don't meaning طلب الأخبار والبحث عنها. Don't search. Don't ask people about another individual to find out about another individual, to begin to gossip about them. What is غيبة? الغيبة ذكرك أخاك بما يكره. To speak about your brother what he dislikes. You know, some of us, we try to be clever and say, well, I would say that in their face. The hadith continues. If it's true what you said about the individual, then you've carried out, you've backbitten that individual. If it's not true, then you've slandered the individual. You've slandered that person, which according to the Sharia is a grave sin. For people who carry out buhtan, slander other individuals that we find. And as we find, فَمَثْلُ الْغِيبَ كَأَكْلِ الْمَيْتَ. مَيْتَةَ is like eating a dead carcass. That's how Allah is describing it. That if backbiting individuals are eating a dead flesh. That's Imam Shawkani speaks about this repulsive nature. How repulsive it sounds to eat a flesh of your own brother. And likewise, you find أَنَّ الْمَيْتَ لَا يَعْلَمْ بِأَكْلِ لَحْمِهِ. A dead person doesn't know if somebody's chewing away at their body, may Allah forbid. Likewise, a living person doesn't know you're speaking about them behind their back, saying things about their own brother. And as if we cannot read this surah, Al-Hujurat, أَلَا أَقَلْ شَيْدٍ, read surah Al-Humazah. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Wail, al-wail, Imam Shaqiti fi Sahib Adwa' al-Bayan, wail, wadin fi Jahannam. Wail, wailun is a valley inside Jahannam. Which whenever it mentions inside the Quran, it's mentioned for severity, for punishment, for torture, for wicked, for evil people. For every person who carries out al-hams wal-lams. Which ulama Imam Shawkani once again begins to explain inside his tafsir. This short surah, what does it mean? Al-hams? And Imam Sufyan al-Thawri mentioned, is to carry out ghiba bilisanika. Al-hams is to carry out ghiba via your tongue, to speak about that individual. Wal-lams is to speak about the individual bi-badanika, bi-aynika, bi-yadika, bil-ishara. Lams is to speak about the person via making visual signs, hand gestures, moving your eyes, look at that individual, point to another individual. All of this is a ghiba. All of it is a ghiba. That's why if you read the tafsir of that, of of Al-Waylu li kulli humazatil lumazah, various depictions. Ghi is to either speak about individual when they're present, not present. All these various depictions are given. But we can conclude that the severity, the dangerous nature of speaking about another individual. Just like we find in the modern world, leave your comment. You know, some of us, I don't understand how we have so much time on our hands. That people could spend hours on end browsing, hours on end making comments, hours on end. And the side point that we find is this modern world that we find, social world that we find at the moment, it's becoming quite sickening. That our life just becomes about likes and dislikes, about Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, pictures, this, that, and the other. That's all, even amongst practicing Muslims. That's all life has become. What does it lead to? Yes, there's a good usage to media. But a lot of the usage is going to what? If you study in great detail, read the comments. What are they? Trash, rubbish, evil speech, bad words. Unnecessary comments that we find that exist inside a society. And then even some people try to disguise it as rudud bin nas, reputation of people. You know, reputation is a science. Raddul ilmi. To refute people is a science. It has an art. It has etiquettes. It has parameters. It's not open to any individual to just pick up anything and to say this person is like this, this person is like that, and to leave that. Read rudud of ulama. Read works of ulama, how they refute another individual. Hal yat'an fi shakhsiyatihi? Have you seen a person, a scholar, refute another scholar and begins to speak about the individual's personality? Or did they refute the concepts, the beliefs? Anybody can refute anyone's belief. There's not la haraj fi dhalik. It's about us spilling over in making our own rudimentary remarks. You don't agree with another individual, فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ فَهُوَ ضَالٌ, he's ignorant, he's astray. فَهُوَ غَبِي, سَفِي, foolish, ignorant. أَيْ كَلِمَةْ هَذِي, what words are these? Stick to the point, stick to the topic, address the issue. And this all shows us, we find that oh, you believe with your tongues, but faith has not entered your hearts. Do not slander Muslims or seek their faults. Whoever seeks their faults, Allah will seek his faults. And if Allah seeks a person's fault, he will expose him, even if that individual happens to be inside his own house. Hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud. Don't go out of your way to seek faults, because then Allah will begin to seek your faults. Will begin to seek my faults. So even a person could be in a state of seclusion, Allah will bring it out, will expose it somehow. That this is what this person does. Likewise, Umar al-Khattab mentioned, do not be deceived by man's eloquence, but rather whoever fulfills trust and refrains from insulting, disputing people's honor is, quote, a real man, unquote. Umar al-Khattab. Don't judge a person by eloquence and speech and this, that and the other. You know, Umar al-Khattab, you read his seerah, who knows how to speak. You know, you find in Manaqib, the reward or the virtues of Umar al-Khattab that we find, hadith inside Sahih Muslim. His own son, Abdullah ibn Umar, he narrates that many times my father had a view and the people had a view. And revelation would come down on the view of what my father would say. هذه نعمة من الله. Three different occasions, hadith such Sahih Muslim, Umar al-Khattab, he had a view. Amongst what comes to my mind briefly, he said that why should everybody look at the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Why should everybody see the hypocrite, everybody? So ayat of what? Hijab came down to cover themselves, to shroud themselves. He said, you know the maqam of Ibrahim? Why don't we take that as a unit of prayer? Allah said that in ayat, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Take the station of Ibrahim as a station of prayer. Some ulama of ulum al-Qur'an have deduced حَوَالِي خَمْسِين مَوَادِئ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, some 50 places inside the Qur'an that revelation came down according to the view of Umar al-Khattab رضي الله تعالى عنه. لو كان نبي بعدي لكان عمر الخطاب. Authentic hadith, it was to, if there was to be a prophet after me, it would have been Umm al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Likewise, you find many that the Salaf have mentioned. A person who speaks a lot about others to you will one day speak about you as well. Many of the Shabab, they like that. They like to come in and narrate, this person's like this, this person said this, this person done that, this person done that. Don't be surprised. غَدًا يَتَحَدَّثْ أَنْكَ. Don't be surprised that tomorrow they narrate about you, they speak about you. Because this is what unfortunately that we find, that this spare time that some of our Shabab have, that's all that they have. That's all their life thrives upon. That's all that they live for. It is gossiping and maligning and seeking something about another individual, exploiting it. As you began with, this is not traits of a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believer does not insult the honor of others, nor curse, nor commit grave sins, nor is he foul in speech. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. Person may think that what is the relationship about all these aspects inside this hadith? The relationship is there. When it becomes common practice for a person who begins to insult the honor of other individuals, you find that this person then begins to insult, uses foul language. That's why, you know, it's very strange. Some ulama mentioned that when you speak, be even careful what words you use, even to non-Muslims. Because if you become frequent inside your speech, inside your home and people around you, that you're always full of shatam wal la'an and cursing and reviling and vulgar words and bad speech, it just becomes normal, habitual. It spills over in your daily life. That whenever you speak or whenever something may be presented, your tongue is vulgar. And some of the ulama mentioned a person's tongue is more vicious than the venom of a snake. The Quran mentions, مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ. The person doesn't enter, speak any word that they utter from their mouth. إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيمٌ. Except when you find they are Raqib and Atib. وَقَدْ فُسِرَ بَعْدَ الْعُلَمَاء. Raqib and Atib is the names of two angels on the right and the left. It's a view that exists. أَيْحَ لَا كِرَامَ الْكَاتِبِينَ. Two noble scribes who remain there, who writing down everything that we utter. Everything that we present will be written, will be a virtue for us, or a vice or a sin against us. To complete the hadith or the discussion about the rights or protecting another person's honor, that we find various encouragement of a hadith that we find of protecting the honor and dignity of other individuals. No Muslim forsakes a Muslim when his rights are being violated or his honor is being tempered with or belittled, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forsake him at a place in which he would love to have his help. And no Muslim helps a Muslim at a time when his honor is being belittled or his rights are being violated, except Allah will help him at a place in which he loves to have his help. Hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood. Even though many ulama of hadith have classified this hadith to be weak, but it mentions various other hadith which have similar wordings that strengthen this meaning or strengthen this concept. Amongst them we find that which is authentic: whoever protects his brother's honor, Allah will protect his face from the fire on the day of the resurrection, in hadith in Sunan Imam Tirmidhi. Whoever protects their brother's honor and dignity, Allah will protect that individual's face from the fire on the day of resurrection. The believer is a mirror of his fellow believer, and the believer is a brother of his fellow believer. He protects him from ruin and looks after him and protects his honor, hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood. That's how a Muslim should be towards another Muslim. We are a reflection to one another, a mirror to one another. There may be many good things that we claim to be doing or portray that we do externally, but there's so many things that we could be missing inside our life, that I hate to say that some of us practicing Muslim, that's all that our life thrives upon, just sitting there gossiping, speaking about other individuals, just as we began with. Just like we may see that we find it repulsive for our fellow brother doing a major sin, we should equally feel this and remind ourselves, remind one another, that if a person is speaking about another individual without any justification, remind them, fear Allah. No need to entertain this. Allah Aqal Shaykh Ulama mentioned a person should just get up and walk away, not sit in such gatherings whereby such words and speech is used. And thus we find study, Hurmatul Muslim, Irdul Muslim, study about the sanctity, the rights of a Muslim, the honor, the dignity of a Muslim. which is for some of us to become very shallow. وَحَتَّ مَوْتُهُ. Even the death of a Muslim, look how it's sanctified. That's why in Islam, you're not allowed to dig up another Muslim's grave, remove their grave, take their organ, their parts of their body, use their organs, etc. that we find. Do whatever you please. A Muslim is sanctified whilst they're living and whilst they're dead. And if they're dead, then we should be even more vigilant. Because we're living. And every time we backbite them, we carry out sins on our own self. And you know what they earn? They earn hasanat. They are dead. Their case is closed. They may have sinned. They may have earned. But Allah is piling up good deeds for them. Allah is giving them good deeds. Our good deeds go to them. Because we're living and we're losing the good deeds and they're gaining the good deeds. So we shouldn't become over judgmental about people. Even we find people may have carried out bad actions and left this dunya. Persons who try to speak well of them, pray for them, that may Allah forgive them, pardon them. Because maybe, may Allah forbid, what if my ending is su'ul khatima? What if my ending is a bad ending? That I'm reclining there, sitting there, speaking about another Muslim, speaking about their honor, their dignity. Death arrives upon me, I die in that state. That could equally be an evil ending as a person who dies carrying out the other major sins. And we need to understand that inside our mind and inside our hearts, to be wary about our life, wary about our action, wary about our time, wary about the short span that we may remain upon this dunya. Vigilant about it. As you find many of the companions, specifically Abu Bakr, said, there's any part of my body that deserves to be imprisoned, that deserves to be placed in captivity, is this, the tongue. There's any part of the body that deserves to be placed, to be punished, is this tongue. Like what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he posed the question, that will our tongues end us up into hellfire? He said, what else? May your mother perish. Thakulatka ummuk. An Arab saying that may your mother die, may she perish. Have you not even understood that, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that majority of the people, the fruits of their tongues is what will take them, lead them to the hellfire. Kuffa alayka hada. Restrain this. And you will get to Jannah. And the narration concludes that we find, مَنْ يَدْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ أَدْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever guarantees for me, they will guard what exists between the two jaws, this piece of flesh, their tongue, and guard what exists between their two limbs, their two legs, their private parts, I guarantee for that person a place in Jannah. Qawlu Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophetic words. Look how deep they are. Because if we're not backbiting, then we're involved in such evil behavior, common practice amongst, may Allah forbid, amongst us Muslims, as zina. That we find common practice, that we find people think nothing of it, as you began with. Read these ahadith about punishment, about torture. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentioned that this is one sin. Yudammiruka ala dunya, destroys you inside this dunya. The punishment you have to take inside this dunya for a person who commits zina. You know, this modern world just finds it trivial. This Valentine's Day, whatever we find people, it's all whatever they want to celebrate, Muslims as well. Relationship before marriage, finding love before marriage. Kullu hadha kadhib. Batil. Haram. Fawahish. Sin. Evil. Wala taqrabu zina. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَأَ سَبِيلًا وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't come near zina. All this that we find, finding the ideal spouse, the ideal person, ideal individual. Like the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام warned. Just like none of us would like it with their own mother, their own sister, their own aunt, their own daughter. Once again, this repulsive depiction, why? To awaken the individual. Young boy came and said to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, give me permission to commit a zina. Look how the Prophet ﷺ taught him. أَتَرْضَ لِأُمَّكَ أَتَرْضَ لِخَالَتِكَ أَتَرْضَ لِأُخْتِكَ Would you like someone to do that with your mother? He said, no, fahadka the nas. Would you like that to commit that with your aunt? He said, no, that's how people are as well. Would you like that to commit that with your sister? He said, no, that's how people are. You don't like it for someone to carry out that evil action with your family members. Why do you want to do it with somebody else's family members? Why? Then he placed his blessed hand on his chest and prayed for this individual. Allah guard his chastity, his honor, his dignity. And this young boy was never ever seen looking at a strange woman ever again in his life. Dua al-Nabi alayhi salatu salam. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wa-al-afafa wa-al-ghina. Study the prophetic traditions, supplications. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda. Guidance, al-tuqa, piety. Wal-afafa, preservation of my chastity. Wal-ghina, richness of not the world. Ghina nafs, richness of the soul. That's what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. To preserve our honor, our dignity, our chastity, our wealth, our property. To preserve our iman. That's what we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Asking Allah time and time again. Give us affirmation of our iman. Keep us steadfast. Keep us away from the surrounding of these muharramat around us.